It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Welcome on in to KSL's Unrivaled. I am not Alex Keery, no Scott Mitchell, no Alex. It's Matt Biamonte and Mitch Harper. We're the Cougar Sports Saturday crew filling in here on a Friday night in which we've got a big football game going on right now. It's just getting underway. We'll get to that in a bit, but man, feels good to be here on KSL Unrivaled.
Yeah, it feels really good. I mean, it's been a minute since, you know, Cougar Sports Saturday, our show. We've had some Saturdays off because of the afternoon games for BYU football. But this is a big night. I mean, game night for Utah and USC. So excited to discuss all of that. And then some Taysom Hill, BYU in Washington, Antonio Brown. We got a lot to get to in the next 2 hours.
Huge show coming up for you. You're not going to want to miss any of it. But first, let's start things off. KSL Unrivaled here with The Cut.
The Cut at 7:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Utah and USC have kicked off in Southern California, and we have a developing story right out of the gate. Keydon Slovis is injured, and he is on the field right now, and trainers are coming out to get him. So this is a significant story, Mitch. JT Daniels out for the year, their starting quarterback. The backup, who through two games had a completion percentage over 80%, leading the country in completion. That's dipped a little bit after the loss to BYU, but he is shaken up. We're looking at the replay right now to try and see how the injury occurred. But, man, he takes a shot.
From Leki Fotu.
Yes.
36 seconds into game time, and already there's a big kind of game-changing moment here. And this is a huge game for Utah. I mean, Utah top 10 football team taking on USC, the prestigious brand in the Pac-12. And it's a great opportunity for Utah. I mean, you look at this game, and regardless of, you know, Utah's the favorite in this one, but still, if Utah comes away with a win in this one, this is a huge win for that Utah football program, because you're talking about a team that suddenly gets into the playoff conversation, is taken a little bit more seriously, but this changes a huge element to the game, because Keydon Slovis, a guy that 2 weeks ago against Stanford, he was dealing on them. And then last week in Provo, BYU kind of rattled him, but still a promising young true freshman for the Trojans. And early on in this game, he is shaken instantly. So could be a game-changing swing of events here in L.A. already.
We're seeing the replay repeatedly. Your thoughts on the hits? Because right now, FS1 and the broadcaster down in Southern California, they're discussing that word that we all hate to use in college football. Clean to you, Mitch?
I think, you know, yeah, Leki Fotu comes in with a hit on Slovis. It looked pretty clean, but they're reviewing it, obviously. I think, but again, my sense of judgment when it comes to targeting is so kind of like, let's move forward. I mean, these guys know they're in a violent contact sport. Just move on. You got to get up. I mean, I just hate how the game has evolved to where it's just like it's trying to, you know, make it this physical contact sport become less physical. But hey, Matt Fink coming in, third string quarterback for USC. See how, if he can kind of pull something out for USC, because Utah, they are a defense that they are very, very talented. And I think this could be a huge change of events for the Utes.
And Matt Fink in his first pass taking a shot down the field. So USC still looking to be aggressive. And I like that you brought up what this could mean for Utah. I'm one of the people, and I might be a little bit of a hater here, but I don't know how much significance this game actually has, because I think there are still games down the road. In fact, next week's game, I think, has more significance than this one. A potential college game day game for Utah. If Washington State and Utah are able to win, they'll be in consideration for that. And then you got Washington as well. And so the season is too young for me to say that this is a make-or-break game for them. But you obviously have to win this game if you want to win the South and then go on to potentially win the Pac-12.
Well, I think you just look at Utah's schedule. I mean, Utah is going to be pretty much the better team, I think, in every game they face this season. I mean, USC just got a ton of talented recruits coming out of high school, 4- and 5-star kids, that make you think, man, they should be a lot better than they are. I mean, Clay Helton, the head coach of the Trojans, he's the one part to this that makes you go, USC just never is going to get off. And for Utah, it's huge because this is a program, USC, where Utes have never won in L.A. It's a storyline that we were talking in the pre-show prep with our producer Jeremy Moss. We're like, this whole 109 years or whatever it is, it's much ado about nothing because they've only played like 6 or 7 times in L.A. Utah's just a recent member to the Pac-12 Conference dating back to 2011. But still, USC is viewed as the prestigious brand out west in college football. And I think that alone, Matt, is one reason for why when perception is king in college football, that's why I think it would be a huge thing for Utah if they come away victorious in this one.
I still think, though, that recent memory, it serves you that, and USC may have scored the first touchdown here. Looks like they did on a deep ball from Fink. They marched right down the field and take the lead. USC up 6-0. USC, though, they haven't been good in quite some time. So the perception is, yes, USC is still a great national power. But I think most national pundits would say that USC hasn't been good in, a decade?
Well, that's the example of what you're saying right there. I mean, the play, USC wide receiver making a play on Utah's Jalen Johnson, a guy that's going to be in the NFL making millions of dollars, and he's able to go one-on-one and get a touchdown grab against Jalen Johnson. Not many teams have enough athletes to be able to do that in the Pac-12 or in college football for that matter. So, I mean, USC's just got elite talent across the board, and that's why if they get coaching together, you know, they could be a pretty good team again. But the thing is that Utah, I feel like they're a confident football team. I think they're going to bounce back. Zach Moss, get him the rock, and Utah will start rolling. But this is going to be a competitive game. Man, this is wild how this game has started, having the third-string quarterback thrust it in, and he leads the Trojans to a scoring drive right away. Very intrigued to see how Utah's offense responds to this somewhat adversity, because this is the first time I believe they've been down. Well, they were down a little bit against Northern Illinois, but this is the first time they're facing real potential adversity here in their Pac-12 opener.
I will say the game does have significance for the South, maybe even more so than the national perspective, because if Utah doesn't win the South, I mean, you can forget about the national championship game, the playoff. I mean, it all starts here. But in terms of, is this the most important game for Utah for me, Mitch? It's not. I think it's down the list a little bit. So.
If they win this game, I think this would be one of the bigger wins in their program's history. I really do, man.
Really?
I think it would. I mean, what are the biggest wins? You go 08 TCU, you go, you know, 08 Alabama, 04 Pitt. You know, there's been some good wins, no doubt, like 2013 against Stanford, 2015 against USC.
This team's not even ranked, Mitch.
But the thing is again, it's just the perception. I mean, we saw it last week. BYU takes down USC. And no one's going to say USC is just this juggernaut right now, but it's that brand. You think of the great players that have came through. College football is all about perception. And the perception still is that Utah is inferior to USC. So that's why I think to kind of change the narrative, this is a huge game for Utah to kind of rewrite their narrative as a program and say, hey, we're not just some like tough physical football team. We're now elite in the Pac-12, and I think that's the opportunity that's in front of them. And right now they're down early 7-0 in L.A.
I can't do it, Mitch. I can't say this is a big win for Utah. If they're
assuming they were to win.
Yes, assuming they were to win, how big of a win is it? To me, I don't think it's that big. I think that beating Washington State at home, which has been a better program in the last couple of years, would be bigger. And beating Washington, a team they have really struggled with in the Pac-12, would be bigger for Utah. That's I mean, when you think about the Pac-12 hurdle, isn't it Washington right now for Utah?
Yeah, I mean, that could be. I mean, Washington coming up November 2nd, later in the season, on the road. That's probably the only game between now and then that you would think Utah might be an underdog. Maybe. I mean, and Washington's still a relatively young football team. We'll see them tomorrow in Provo, and we'll preview that game a little bit coming up at the bottom of the hour or so. But, yeah, I mean, I think that Utah, you know, is still like fighting that perception battle, and you don't got many great opportunities because Utah's schedule is weak this year. It is.
Yes.
The non-conference was weak. BYU is going to be a better strength of scheduled piece to that mix than maybe they thought. But the thing is, it's a relatively weak schedule, and that's why you got to capitalize if you're Utah on games like this on a nationally televised event, FS1, where a lot of people in college football are going to be watching because you don't got much competition on a Friday night. It's a big opportunity for that program.
Another reason for me that I don't think it's a big opportunity is Utah's favored. They're favored to win this game. USC is not ranked. USC is not expected to win the conference. I just think this is one of those games for Utah where if your program is where they believe it is, this is just another game that you're supposed to win. This isn't necessarily a game from my eyes where it's do or die. It makes or breaks the season. So they're expected to win. They should win this game. So we'll have to see how it plays out, and we'll keep an eye on it here on KSL Unrivaled. Utah has the football right now, trailing 7-0. Man, it's so many interesting storylines, but if Utah wins, they're still going to be, what, top 10? They're right. I think they're 11 right now,
yeah.
So they'll probably move in a spot or two. I don't think they're going to jump significantly from beating a USC team on the road. Do you?
No, I think they could potentially move to like 8 or something if they do come away with a win, but again, it's just because of that brand of the SC Trojans. And you know, this will be a good test for Utah's offense to see how well they respond to adversity. We'll keep talking Utah and USC throughout the evening. Coming up next, though, we'll discuss a little bit about BYU football. Ty Detmer, it's KSL's Unrivaled, powered by KSL Sports.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.